Today with Joseph Prince.
The Bible calls Jesus God manifest in the flesh. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh, and we see him in the midst of the people. Jesus has come and brought God so close to needy humanity. Yeah, the word of faith is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That if you just confess, it's in your mouth. You say, Jesus Christ is my Lord. You are saved. You see, he came with all the fullness of heaven in him. And faith is nothing more than you seeing your need, your emptiness, and seeing the fullness in him and bringing your emptiness to his fullness. Jesus calls that faith. So much humanistic teaching is based on human effort. 7 steps, 5 steps, 8 steps. But we are transformed not by our efforts, because if we are transformed by our efforts, then we need to stay transformed by our efforts. But if God and his spirit is the one transforming you, praise God, it's permanent. Faith is when you bring all your emptiness to his fullness. He calls that faith. And Jesus came to walk among people. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm going to use this word deliberately by the Holy Spirit. He came to be used. I want to start off by talking about the one that we all loved, Jesus. So let's look at this amazing story from Luke chapter 5. Now, the reason why I say this story is amazing is because the Holy Spirit thought so much about this story that he has it recorded in all 3 synoptic gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John is not a synoptic gospel, okay? So the 3 gospels are called synoptic gospels. John stands alone. And in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we have this same story recorded in all 3. So let's read the story, and then we'll see what the Lord has for us today. Because one word from God, just one word from God, is all that you need. Just hearing that word will set you on a course for his providence, for his healing, for his blessings. Amen? Now it happened on a certain day as Jesus was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Notice that this is one time in the Bible where everyone who was a religious leader, Pharisees, Sadducees, religious leaders, they came out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. I mean, Jerusalem is their headquarters. Everyone turned out to see Jesus, all right? To check him out, to check his credentials. Because by now, so many have received miracles from Jesus that they had to investigate, all these Pharisees, okay? They had to investigate. Because for a long time, for 1,500 years under the law, no leper has ever gone to them. There is a story of Naaman, the leper who was cleansed, all right, by dipping himself in the River Jordan, but Naaman wasn't a Jew. No Jew has come to a priest in Jerusalem and said, look at me, I'm clean. None of them. In fact, the ministry of the priest in the Old Testament was to find fault, because if you have a skin condition, you have to go to the priest to make sure it's not leprosy. And the priest will pronounce whether you are clean or unclean, whether it's leprosy or not. So it was a ministry of finding fault. But the new priest has come. And all of a sudden, there was an influx almost every day. And in a single day, a number of people were turning up and saying, hey, check me out. I once was blind, now I see. Why are you here? Who sent you here? The one who made me see said, go show yourself to the priest. Another one came and said, I once was a leper. I never knew the embrace of my children who has grown up. And now for the first time, the Messiah touched me with his love and grace. And he said, go show yourself to the priest. So the priest had a very busy time. And there is a sign in Israel in the Old Testament that when the Messiah comes, blind eyes will see. Amen. the sick will be healed. And now all of a sudden there was a multitude being healed. And they were all showing up to the priest. So the priest said, we must check this guy out, whether he's for real. So the Bible says they all went to Capernaum, where Jesus was at that time. They all jam into the house of Peter. And many of you have been to Israel. You have seen that the remains of Peter's house. They all jam-packed. And the Bible says in another gospel that there was not even room at the door. They were all jam-packed. And of course, the most important VIPs among the Pharisees were seated inside. And there was no room for the common folk. And Jesus was there. And the Bible says, as Jesus was teaching, verse 1, as he was teaching, say as. In the Greek, in which our New Testament is written, in the Greek, the verb here is in the imperfect indicative. Now, perfect tense means what? It has happened once, which never needs to be repeated. Jesus Christ, it is finished in the perfect tense, which means in the Greek, it is finished once and for all, and action never to be repeated. Our sins are forgiven once and for all, and action never need to be repeated. The Son of God need not die again. Amen. But here, as he was teaching, is an imperfect tense, which means what? He kept on teaching. It's not an action that is final, never to be repeated. In fact, it's a repeated. He kept on repeating his teaching. In other words, as the Pharisees gathered into the house, Jesus kept on teaching. And then the last phrase of verse 1 says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And the power of the Lord here in the Greek is also in the imperfect indicative, which means as he kept on teaching, the power kept on flowing. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. As he kept on teaching, the power of the Lord kept on pressing upon the people. And why was the power of the Lord pressing upon the people? To heal them. Look at the word them. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. Them includes what? Every last one of the Pharisees. Every last one of the religious leaders. The same verb form is used. As he was teaching repeatedly, the power of the Lord came upon them repeatedly. But it's one thing for the power of the Lord to be pressing upon you. It's another thing for you to receive. Are you listening, people? So let's finish the story. Verse 2, then behold, man brought... Isn't it amazing that sometimes the power of the Lord is present to heal more than one? To heal them, and only one person walks away that day. Only one. But was present to heal them. All right? Then behold, man brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. I love the word, the midst. Jesus says, when I'm in the midst, where two or three are gathered, I am in the midst. Amen? He was crucified in the midst. When he's in the midst of your life, he integrates you. He makes you whole. Yeah. Nothing becomes lessened. Nothing becomes worse because Jesus is in the center. But everything comes to its fullness, to its fruition. Next, the Bible says, they let the man down in the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, what an amazing thing for Jesus to look at. Jesus did not see just their action. Jesus saw their faith. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven you. Next. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? Next. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Remember this, Jesus calls himself the Son of Man, especially in the Gospel of Luke. He wants you to know that he, the Son of God, became the Son of Man so that all the sons of men might become sons of God. He came down because we could not go up. So he brought all heaven down with him. Amen? That you might know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on. And when Jesus speaks to you, you have power over what used to have power over you. Now you pick up what you've been lying on, what you were dependent upon. Let me tell you this, all right? Jesus will always cause you to be the head and not the tail. All right? He will cause you to dominate, not to be dominated by circumstances. All right? So he went to his own house glorifying God. And look at the people's reaction in verse 26, the last verse. And they were all amazed. And they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." So God healed in the Old Testament. God fed. God blessed. God provided. But there was a distance. There was a lack of closeness. It was as if God stayed in the Holy of Holies while he performed miracles outside. God stayed in heaven while we see his acts on earth. But something has changed. The Bible calls Jesus God manifest in the flesh. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. And we see him in the midst of the people. Still pardoning, still feeding, and still healing. But this time, there is no distance. This time, he's there. As he forgives, he's standing beside the one who needs forgiveness. As he forgives that poor Samaritan woman at the well who was living in adultery, he was sitting there and she was in front of him. He fed the multitude, but this time his hands broke the bread. There was no more distance. God manifest in the flesh has come to dwell among people. Hallelujah. But you see, this does not please the religious leaders. They acknowledge that man needs forgiveness. They acknowledge there is a God. Don't forget, these are religious leaders. But they said, who can forgive sins? The moment Jesus says to the man, your sins are forgiven you, they felt Jesus trespass on their territory. They'll say this, who can forgive sins but God only? And God is in heaven. As long as God is in heaven, your must come through us. We will tell you what is right. We will tell you whether God accepts or not. In other words, they felt that their position was being threatened by Jesus, because now there is a God manifest in the flesh. In verse 24, he says that you may know the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. You see, the Pharisees wanted God to be just in heaven. Yes, he can forgive sins, but keep him in heaven. Because the moment he comes down and people have a very close, intimate relationship, where are we? Now, I want to start off by saying this. I'm a pastor. Okay? Thank God for pastors all over the world. Thank God for missionaries. Thank God for spiritual leaders. But our job is to point you to Jesus. Our job is not to take the place of Jesus. We cannot be a go-between. See, the Pharisees were concerned about their position, because if there is a God who forgives on earth, then where is their place? So they felt angry because they want to keep God and the people separate. Thereby, their ministry becomes a necessity. But Jesus has come and brought God so close to needy humanity. Yeah, the word of faith is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That if you just confess, it's in your mouth. You say, Jesus Christ is my Lord. You are saved. Amen. Amen. Salvation has come so close to us. Amen. You see, Jesus has come down with all the virtues of heaven. Because the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse 14, we read, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I used to wonder last time, years ago, the Bible says we are transformed by beholding the glory. So much humanistic teaching is based on human effort. 7 steps, 5 steps, 8 steps. But we are transformed not by our efforts, because if we are transformed by our efforts, then we need to stay transformed by our efforts. But if God and His Spirit is the one transforming you, praise God, it's permanent. Amen. Effortless change is true change. I used to wonder when I read, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. Ha! Transformed by beholding the glory. The next question, what is the glory? And here, verse 14, we beheld His glory. Whew. The glory of the only begotten of the Father. What's the glory? Jesus is full of grace and truth. Amen. I said, Jesus is full of grace and truth. Amen. You see, He came with all the fullness of heaven in Him. And faith is nothing more than you seeing your need, your emptiness, and seeing the fullness in Him and bringing your emptiness to His fullness. Jesus calls that faith. For the ones who see their emptiness, they see their leprosy, they see their blindness. Okay, there's a pun there. See their blindness. Okay. They see their need, they see their lack, and not to see in Jesus a fullness to draw upon, that's not faith. Yeah. Talking about your weaknesses is not faith. Yeah. Yeah. Faith is when you bring all your emptiness to His fullness. He calls that faith. And Jesus came to walk among people. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm going to use this word deliberately by the Holy Spirit. He came to be used. He came to be used. And for the one who see that, once in a while you find someone who penetrates the veil of His flesh and say, I know who you are. You might appear like you are tired at the well, physically tired, but I know there is a fullness of God on the inside of you, and I've come to draw upon that fullness because I am thirsty. And this woman who came in the afternoon because she was so ashamed of her background, so she came in the afternoon instead of the morning where most women would come to draw water. She went away from Jesus and became an evangelist, telling the entire city of Samaria, come, see a man who told me everything I did. No more embarrassment. What did she see in Jesus? And the disciples came to Jesus and found Him refreshed. You know what refreshes the Lord? When a sinner brings his empty cup to His fullness. That woman fed Him, not with physical food. She brought her empty cup to Him. What a Savior we have. He moved among them with all His fullness, waiting for the eye that will pierce His human flesh, that will see Him as He really is. Martha and Mary. Martha was busy preparing food in the kitchen. Especially when you have Peter coming with Jesus to eat. And I know because one of my pastors is just like that. Every dinner is a 10-course meal. And she was busy preparing. You can understand her stress. You can understand her concern and anxiety. She wants to make a good impression on Jesus. But her sister, Mary, was seated at Jesus' feet, listening to His word. You see, God is not against you serving Him. But what is more important than even service is a heart that sees His fullness. Amen. Eyes that see Him as the answer to your every need. And that Mary did. Mary did not, like her sister Martha, engage her hands and her feet, but she engaged her eyes and her ears, beholding the loveliness of the Savior and listening to His word. And she pleased the Lord. Then the sister came in, mad, angry. Whenever you are stressed, you get angry at everybody except yourself. Now you're angry with me because I said it. All right, that's a sign you're under stress, and God loves you, stress boy. Stress girl, amen? So she's angry, and she even blamed the Lord. Don't you care? Blame the Lord. That my sister has left me alone. Now, it's one thing if you want to serve the Lord in a spirit of stress, All right, that's one thing. But the moment you try to stop someone from drawing from Jesus, Jesus will rebuke you. Because to him, that's more precious. I said, someone drawing from his fullness is more precious to him. Because that person, listen carefully, confidence in his love and goodness is more precious to him than 10,000 services combined. He's looking for someone confident in his love, in his love, in his goodness. Amen. So the moment Martha tried to say something and tried to put Mary away from that place of blessing, Jesus spoke up and just, Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things. Now, he didn't rebuke her for her service. He rebuked her for her anxiety and overly anxiousness, her much worries. How about you today? Are you over worried? Are you over anxious? Do you know why you're over anxious? Yeah, you think it's the money problem. You think it's a physical problem. You think it's because of what the doctor said. But all that is just a combination because the foundation is not there. And Jesus said, Martha, you're troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary chose the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. One thing is needful. We are troubled about many things because we don't do that one thing. Only one thing is needful. But Pastor Prince, how can you say one thing? No, I didn't say. You just accused me wrongly. I did not say. Jesus said. Jesus said only one thing is needful. But every day I got mouths to feed. I got small kids to take care. And then I must make sure they do their homework. I must make sure that my assignments are ready for my boss. I must make sure that I meet my quota. I got a lot of things that's necessary every single day, Pastor. But Jesus said one thing is needful. And you know what is it? To see his fullness every day and to draw from him. Because though he was sitting down there, you know, Martha saw him in the flesh, weary and tired, but Mary saw a fullness to be drawn upon still. And when Mary drew from Jesus, she pleased Jesus. Is there anyone in New Creation Church that is ready to draw from his fullness? Amen. Is there anyone that's ready to bring your emptiness, your empty health of body, your empty mind of peace, empty wallet to Jesus for his fullness? That's all that he calls faith. And whenever someone does that, see their need or their friends' need, like this little band of friends, all right? They saw the crowd. They saw the many people around the house. It was jam-packed with Pharisees, religious leaders, all right? They went to the rooftop. They broke up the roof and they lowered their friend. Amen. Because they had faith. Jesus saw their faith. What is faith? Faith is seeing the emptiness of your friend and seeing the fullness of the man, the perfect man, the Son of Man, who became the Son of Man, that we might become the sons of God. They saw the fullness in him and they lowered the needy man into the fullness. Hallelujah. Jesus saw that faith. Amen. Have you noticed? There's no more paths. Bring your lamb to be killed. Make sure the priest that offers it washes his hands at the lever and then wait for him to go in, light the menorah, the lampstand. No more rituals. They broke the roof, lowered him, because God has come to bring all heaven with him. God manifests in the, oh, we beheld his glory, John said. We saw his glory full of grace and truth. Blind Bartimaeus. I mean, he didn't even have a name. Bar is Aramaic for son. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. He was a beggar and he was blind. And as he was begging in Jericho, he heard a commotion. There was a loud commotion. And when he asked someone, what's the commotion about? They said, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And whilst there were a lot of people who might just touch Jesus or be around Jesus to see him like a celebrity or someone famous or a wonderful rabbi, this man who could not see with his physical eyes discerned the Son of God. He discerned a fullness that has come to manifest in the flesh. He discerned that this is the one that's promised in the garden when our forefathers fell, and God promised the seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head. And he has come in the flesh. This is the same one that God promised Abraham, in your seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed. This is the one that God promised David. David, after you go to your grave, I promise you, a seed will arise from your line, and his throne will no more end, and his government will never cease. Bartimaeus, maybe he's been listening to people talking, Messiah's coming. All right, one of these days, Messiah's coming. He might hear another rabbi say, when the Messiah comes, he'll open blind eyes. And somehow when he heard the commotion and asked, who is passing by? They said, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He discerned in Jesus a fullness that is beyond physical eyes. So if you sit down there and say, if I was there, I would see his fullness. Martha did, Mary did. Bartimaeus had no eyes. Okay, he got eyes, but he was blind. This discernment is not with physical eyes. And Bartimaeus cried, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And what did the disciples do? Shut up. Shut up. Jesus, Bartimaeus shouted. And Jesus stopped. He turned around. The one who made the heavens and the earth. In the Old Testament, before he came down as God in the flesh, Joshua on earth prayed, God, let the sun stand still and the moon over Ayalon. And Jesus caused the sun to stop exerting his power and the moon to stay in its place. And there was a long day that's verified by scientists. This same Jesus who stopped the sun and moon, now the cry of a blind beggar stopped him. He turned around and says, bring him here. Somebody has seen my fullness. Somebody is willing to bring his emptiness, his blindness to my fullness, to my power, to my love and grace. Hallelujah. He came to be so close. Of course, some religious leaders, the Pharisees' descendants are still around. They always want to put God somewhere in heaven. They don't mind you believe in God as long as God is far from you. And then they want to come and tell you what God is saying to you. Prophecy today is not directional. Prophecy today is what God has told you already, and the prophet comes and confirms what God has spoken to you in intimacy. Amen. I repeat again. In the Old Testament, prophecy directs the believer. Under grace, in the new covenant, prophecy confirms what the believer already knows in his heart. See, many of you in this church, it's not, you come and you say, Pastor Prince, I heard the grace message the first time, and yet it's not the first time. If grace is grace and the gospel is the gospel of grace, you probably heard it from the Holy Spirit inside. And when you first came here, I put into words the doctrine of what you have believed in your heart from the Holy Spirit teaching you. And what you experienced was this. My head don't understand everything, but my heart is saying, I knew it. Yes, this is what I believe. It's like that. Amen. The religious leaders, in trying to defend what they deem as defending the holiness of Christ, they obscure his grace. And to behold his grace is to behold his glory. Amen. The only basis for Jesus to touch the leper cannot be the leper's goodness, cannot be the leper's cleanness, cannot be the leper's law-keeping. Hey, even you're not a leper, no one can come to Jesus by their own works, by their own goodness, by their own cleanness, and receive a miracle. God is holy, man is not. Therein lies the problem. But man has forgotten the greatest holiness of God is grace. It's called Hesed in the Old Testament. David discovered is the greatest characteristic of God. He says, your Hesed, loving kindness, is better than life.
but today has said in all Israel in their New Testament, which is not taken from Greek, theirs is in Hebrew. In Israel, even my friend in Israel today reads the New Testament in Hebrew, and everywhere it says grace, it says chesed. David says, your chesed is better than life. Your grace is better than life. Amen. When they dedicated the Temple of Solomon, they sang, the 120 priests sang, his chesed endures forever. Jehoshaphat went into battle with armies that outnumber Israel, that outnumber Judah. And he went with one song, praise the Lord, his chesed endures forever. And God fought against those enemies. They hardly had to lift one finger, draw a weapon. By the time they reached the battle scene, everyone was dead. The Bible says they helped kill one another. The enemies helped kill one another. Here, step me first. Now, your turn. They helped kill one another. And Israel was 3 days collecting all the sundial Rolex. The missus were like this. 3 days, and they call that valley Barakah in Hebrew, which means the valley of blessing. Because whenever you put your trust, whenever your song is about his chesed, his grace, you'll be living in the valley of blessing. There might be battles. Oh yeah, there was a battle. Outnumbered the children of Judah. They were outnumbered. Yeah, your battle, your trouble might seem to loom larger than life. It might seem the symptoms, the doctor says, is getting worse, whatever it is. It might seem larger than life. But I'm here to tell you, if you praise the Lord, for he is good, for his chesed endures forever, he will fight against those enemies. For the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't you love Jesus? He came to the house of Levi. He came into the house of Martha and Mary. He walked into the house. Actually, he invited himself to the house of Zacchaeus. What a beautiful picture of God in the flesh, inviting himself to your house and always leaving a blessing behind. Always leaving behind a blessing. Don't be afraid. Some of you, God is feeling, God is feeling tired, but he that keeps Israel neither slumber nor sleep. Waiting for you, God is waiting for you to get into a spiritual mood, to talk to him. Every time you think about coming to Jesus with your emptiness, with your pressures, your stress, your troubles, all right, you see the fullness, but you don't bring the emptiness, that's not faith. But then you're concerned because I've not gone to the consecrated path of the tabernacle. I've not brought the lamb. I've not brought the lever. I've not done this. I've not done that. There's so many steps. No, there's no more steps. The four who bore the guy on the stretcher in this story realized there's no more step. And their faith will rent through any veil, whether it's a ceiling, whether it is a human, they will rent it because they know there's a fullness in Jesus they will never rebuke. When you come, I repeat, never rebuke, but gives liberally to all who ask him. We are no more in the old. We are in the new. Because thank God, if it's under the old, you know what happens? When you touch the leper, you become dirty. You become unclean. No one can touch the leper in the Old Testament. Because under the Old Testament, sin is contagious. Uncleanness, all right, it's contagious. But watch Jesus. He's come to bring grace. Hallelujah. He's full of grace and truth. When the leper came to Jesus, not only Jesus assured him that God is more than willing to heal him by saying, I'm willing, the first thing Jesus did was touch the leper. Amen. And guess what? Because he's full of grace, he's brought grace, not law. The leper caught what he had. Cleanness. So I'm not afraid about our young people. It is not touch not, taste not, handle not. No, it is unveiling Jesus to them. And when they go out there, I'm not afraid that the world will contaminate them. I'm concerned for the world because they will holify the world, sanctify the world, impact the world, heal the world. Let me close by saying this. The days of the law do, 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 and do, and do before God can do is over. He cried, "It is finished." But pastor, we are unclean. Yeah, it is finished. He took our place at the cross. You see, God cannot be unrighteous. God cannot just say, boys will be boys. Never mind, I'll close my eye to your sins and just forgive you. No, God cannot do that. God must be righteous in forgiving us. And the only basis that God can be righteous in forgiving us is the cross. That's why the Son of God came. He's the only baby born to die. And when he hung on that cross, he paid the price for all your sins. He paid it all. And he settled all the claims of holy law and cried, "It is finished," in the Greek perfect tense, an action that will never be repeated again. The result is ongoing, but the action will never be repeated. Never. Amen. The gospel of take and take and take and take more has come. Amen. Amen. What do you need? Take from him. Amen. And when you still need more, take some more. Amen. Amen. David knew the secret. In Psalms 117, David says, "What will I render to the Lord for all the benefits the Lord has given me?" Have you ever asked yourself, "God has been so good to me. What can I give back to the Lord?" The next verse says, "I will take." David says, "I will take the cup of salvation." You know how you say thank you to the Lord? Take some more from him. Take from his fullness. And don't let anyone make you feel guilty. Don't let a martyr or a Pharisee make you feel guilty for taking from Jesus. Amen. You know something? Even children. One time, parents want to bring their children, all right? Their children with all kinds of needs. They see a fullness in him. They want to bring Jesus to the children, and the Pharisees, his disciples stood in between. You know what Jesus did? He rebuked his disciples. "Allow the children to come to me." Amen. I'm here to tell you, even children will not be hindered from coming to Jesus. And if you stand in the way, you better get out. Amen. You better get out of the way of grace. Amen. Amen. Take. 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 Amen. As a woman in debt, her husband has died, and the debtors have the creditors have come to take her children away into slavery. She cried to the man of God. The man of God says, "Go and borrow vessels. All right, what little oil you have, pour in the vessels." And the Bible says she borrowed not a few, a lot of vessels. So she and her sons poured the little oil into the vessels, and when they poured, the oil was full. Filled the whole vessel, and they poured the next vessel and start pouring until all the vessels were full, and she asked for another vessel. One of her sons says, "That's all we borrowed." You see, the supply was greater than the demand. God never stopped filling. They stopped. If they had only borrowed from the whole city, take some more. The Bible says Jesus multiplied the loaves and fishes and gave to the people, listen, as much as they would. The moment they are full, the supply stop. And when the supply stop, 12 baskets full left over. Amen. This is our Savior. Amen. There is a fullness to take, and take some more. Well, I feel like some of you are ready. Yeah. Say, "Out of my way, man, demon or deacon. Man, I'm going to take from Jesus." Are you ready? Are you ready? Come on, church. Hallelujah. Amen. Give him praise. Give him praise unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us all kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And all the people said, amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed all across this place. Thank you, Jesus. If you are here this afternoon and you do not know this wonderful salvation, this forgiveness of sins that was purchased for you at a great cost, Jesus wants to come so close to you, forgive you of your sins, and give you eternal life. Jesus said, listen, I come not to give you laws and more laws. I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. What a wonderful, wonderful gift. Life more abundant. Is your life abundant? Is it more abundant than your colleagues, than your relatives? Jesus came to give you just that, life more abundant. So all across this place and also in Suntec, you say, Pastor Prince, I want this wonderful Jesus and what he did for me at the cross to become real. Pray for me, Pastor. Whoever you are right now, just pray this prayer from your heart. Right where you are seated, the Word of God is so near you, even in your mouth and in your heart, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is your Lord, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So right now, say this prayer from your heart. If you want Jesus to come into your life, you want to receive of his fullness and grace for grace. If that is you, wherever you are right now, pray this prayer right now. Say, Heavenly Father, if you want forgiveness of sins, say this to the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me, for sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross for all my sins. Thank you. His blood was shed, cleansing me from every sin. Thank you. You raised him from the dead as a proclamation that all my sins have all been put away. Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. Thank you, Father. I am saved. I am blessed. I am highly favored in the beloved Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Give him praise. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. A number of you receive supernatural healing. All right, when you go back to the doctor, you will see, all right, there's been a change. A number of you with high blood pressure, your blood pressure has been normalized. You will see it in the days to come. Amen. Don't be afraid of it anymore. No, 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 no. Your blood vessel will not burst, all right, because you have been in this service. Amen. Amen. You took just now from Jesus. And whenever you take, you pleased him. Amen. Amen. It is yours now. Say, it's mine. Say, healing is mine. Because of what Jesus has done.
If you have just prayed the prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to welcome you to a new life filled with the goodness and abundant grace of Jesus. To help you begin this journey, we would like to bless you with an ebook titled The One Thing, 31-Day Devotional by Pastor Joseph Prince. Receive daily bite-sized inspirations of the favor, healing, and provision that God has for you. Simply log on to josephprince.org/salvation and download your free copy today. Get ready to experience the amazing love of God.
This month, as a thank you for your gift of any amount to the ministry, we would like to send you Joseph's 3-CD audio series, Fresh Favor for Right Now. Join Joseph as he reveals from the story of David the secret to increasing in God's unmerited favor and good success in every area of your life.
You're actually looking into the heart of David and finding the very reason why God liked David in a special way. David had a heart for the ark. He valued God's presence because it's the presence of Jesus that brings the blessing. Amen.
For a specific gift, you will also receive this brand new resource, Rest and Acceleration Package. Discover God's way of acceleration and learn how you can position yourself to receive the harvest of breakthroughs you have been trusting God for.
God is saying when you enter His rest this year, things are going to accelerate for you. Things that will take months, things that will take years will accelerate and manifest this year.
Request these timely resources and experience His fresh favor today. Call us toll-free at 877-901-4300 or visit us at josephprince.org.
Hi, I'm Joseph Prince, and I'll be your personal guide helping you discover the land of Israel. My brand new book, Expedition Promised Land, Walk Where Jesus Walked. Through this book, I take you on a 10-day visual journey to discover Israel as if I were your personal guide. We'll explore the region of Galilee, where our Lord Jesus calmed the storms, multiplied the loaves and fishes. We'll also be visiting the old city of Jerusalem, where His passion took place and where the early church was born. There's just something about being in Israel. The Bible comes alive in a special and intimate way. Everything about it, its rich history and culture, its topography and its landscape. Everywhere you turn and in everything you look at, the rocks, the trees, the ancient practices are pictures of our Lord Jesus and what He has done for us at the cross. As we explore Israel together through this book, my prayer is that you will see a living Savior in this ancient land. Join me to encounter Jesus in a deep and personal way through the pages of this book, and your life will never be the same.
Get your copy today. Call us toll-free at 877-901-4300 or visit us at josephprince.org/new book today.
As you worship the Lord, God fights your battles. Worship in Greek is pros, kunio. Pros is to come close, kunio, kiss. When we worship God, we are coming close to God to kiss.
I believe that there is a corporate anointing whenever we come together to worship the Lord as the body of Christ, even online. So if you're looking to be part of a community of grace believers, join us for service every Sunday. God bless you, and I'll see you online for church this weekend.
Join our digital service every Sunday at gracerevonline.com.
Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.